disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed on the third day and be raised up. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do. And Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. But whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, as you just heard, today's readings are about surrendering ourselves to the will of God. In the second reading, St. Paul tells us, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies up as a living sacrifice. In the Gospel, Jesus tells us, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, over the ages, there have been many persons who have followed those words literally. Christian history is full of men and women who gave up everything, even their lives, to follow Christ. I don't know about you, but sometimes for me, the idea of self-sacrifice is more like the New England Patriots fan I once heard about. There were four very fanatical football fans who climbed a high mountain in order to prove who was the most loyal team fan among them. It was a Philadelphia Eagles fan, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, an Indianapolis Colts fan, and a New England Patriots fan. Each wanted to prove that he was the most diehard fan of all. When they got to the top of the mountain, the Steelers fan actually jumped off the mountain screaming, this is for the Steelers. In shock, but not to be outdone, the Eagles fan jumped off saying, this is for the Eagles. And then the Patriots fan, to prove that he was the most loyal fan, screamed, this is for the Patriots, and threw the Colts fan off. I'm afraid that sometimes my idea of self-sacrifice is more like that. You know, I think I'm more like St. Augustine, who in his youth said, Lord, give me chastity and continence, but not just yet. So what exactly is Jesus and St. Paul asking of us? Are we to become monks or cloistered nuns, giving up everything? I had a dear friend, Jonah, who died last year. He was a Trappist monk. Trappist monks are known as the Order of Cistercians of Strict Observers. They're called that because they strictly adhere to the rule of Saint Benedict. My friend had very few possessions. He got up at 3:15 every morning. He prayed seven times a day. He was a vegetarian. When he wasn't praying, he was working. He went to bed at 8 p.m., and then he got up the next day to start it all over again. He'd given up everything for Christ. I once spent a week at that monastery with him, praying, living with the monks. But after I left the monastery, just before I left the monastery, I told him that I had had a spiritual revelation. I told him, better you than me, dude. I realize there's no way that I could ever be alone. So, what is Jesus asking? Jesus is asking? How do I become a living sacrifice, as St. Paul asks? How do I lose my life to save it, as Jesus asks? Am I supposed to be a martyr? I pondered these things really long and hard, and I found some answers in the teaching of St. Ignatius of Loyola. His motto was, "I would surely gain glory for the greater glory of God." He taught his followers, who would later become the Jesuits, that they should have a wholehearted commitment to God, but more. He told his followers that they should strive for the Magis. Magis is a Latin word that means the more, the greater, the excellent, the best. People who reach for the Magis are always trying to do better. They take risks. They're not afraid to be uncomfortable. The Magis is better than greater. How can you do that? Well, we can't do that. But we can get there by cooperating with the grace of God. Now, there are two contemporary examples of persons who totally cooperated with God's grace and aimed for the Magis: Mother Angelica and Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Mother Angelica built a Catholic television network, as you know, EWTN, where it worth millions of dollars and broadcast throughout the world. And she did it without any money of her own or any knowledge of television. Mother Teresa of Calcutta started with nothing. In a foreign land among the poorest of the poor in the world, and she helped thousands of people. And she founded a worldwide order of nuns, the missionaries of charity, helping people in over 100 countries throughout the world, the poorest countries throughout the world. These two women strove for the Magis, the more, the best, the impossible, which was made possible through their cooperation with the power of the Holy Spirit. But what exactly does the Magis of St. Ignatius mean for me, for you? It sounds impossible, just like what Jesus and St. Paul are asking us to do. Well, St. Ignatius put it in a human perspective. We can strive for the Magis, but obvious, here and now, without giving up everything or becoming a monk or a cloistered nun. He gave us a simple formula. St. Ignatius wrote, "The goal of our life is to live with God forever and eternity." That's pretty obvious. "All the things of this world are gifts from God, given to us so that we can know him more easily and return his love for us more readily." So, he says, we should appreciate and use all the gifts of God insofar as they help us to develop as loving persons. But if any of these gifts become the center of our lives, then they replace God, and they hinder our growth towards the goal of unity with God. And then he continues, "In everyday life, then, we should hold ourselves in balance in regard to the things of the world. We should not fix our desires on health or sickness, wealth or poverty, success or failure, long or short life, for everything has the potential of calling forth in us a deeper response to our life in God." And he concludes, "Our only desire then, and our only choice should be this: I want and I choose what better leads to God's deepening his life in me." In other words, what he said is, we don't have to be martyrs. We don't have to give up everything. We don't have to live as monks or cloistered nuns. The world is good. The things of the world are good because they've been given to us by God. So they're good. However, if anything or anyone is an obstacle to the goal of loving God, then we have to choose between that thing, that person, and God. This is what St. Paul means when he tells us, do not conform yourself to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern, that is, choose, what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. When Jesus asks us to lose our lives to save us, he's telling us to lose the things in our lives that are obstacles to following him. And when he asks what profit would it be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life, he's reminding us to be aware of what drives our lives. What are our passions? What is our God? What is the God in our lives? Is it money? Is it career? Is it things? Is it a person? These things can be good if they lead us to God, but if not, if they're not leading us to God, then Jesus says lose them. That's what he means. So we can enjoy the world. It is good. God gave us the good, and that is the wisdom of St. Ignatius, because he taught us that we see God in the world. But don't let the world become your God. Now, some people have been called to give up everything for the love of God. Most of us are not. But all of us are called to strive to choose the things that God has given us to love, serve, and come closer to him, and to avoid and get rid of the rest. Today, the Lord's Day, please reflect on this. Do the choices I make work towards a greater glory of God in my life and in the lives of God?